Good day, ladies and gents. Welcome to the Fairway Fit Golf Podcast, where two friends get together to talk about how we are trying to look good, feel good, and play good. Let's go. All right, welcome back, Fairway Fit Golf Podcast fans. Welcome to episode 14. We are calling this our vacation episode. This is Brad. I just got back from my family vacation. And Greg, where are you right now?
I'm calling you from beautiful Florida.
Yes, you are. You are hanging out with a couple characters down there, I think.
Oh, yeah. I got Mickey, Minnie. I got Avatar behind me. I've seen animals. I've seen every single Buzz Lightyear, Woody, everything. And it's been a busy couple of days, but did sneak out to get some golf in. So first time playing in Florida, and it is a little bit different, but it was
how hot is it course. Down there?
The day that I played, I think it was a heat index that felt like 101 or 102.
Yeah.
But we've had a couple of days down here where it's like feeling like 104, 105. So it was hot, but I've probably never sweated through a golf polo like I did on the day that I played.
In Myrtle, where I was, it was hot, but it was actually hotter back here at home than it was in Myrtle. There's just the drought here, and you'll come back to it. The drought is ridiculous.
I've seen that it's been brutally hot up there.
Yeah, so I enjoyed Myrtle. We had a couple days. I got a couple rounds in as well. But it was hot, but it wasn't like, it really wasn't like unmanageable hot. How are the courses down there? I saw something the other day that talked about this is the off season for Florida golf.
I will say it was very easy to get a tee time. I called the day before and I got a 10-10 tee time. I went out as a single, so it wasn't that difficult. But there's the resort that I'm staying on, Reunion Resort, has three beautiful courses. They have a Norman course, they have a Palmer course, and they have a Watson course. I got out of the Watson course on Tuesday.
Were the others full or just this is the
Norman course was, I'm sorry, not a Norman course. It's, what do they have? They have the Watson course, they have the Palmer course, and they have the...
It was Norman. I thought you said it was Norman earlier.
Maybe it is Norman. Maybe it is. The Norman's course is closed for, they were punching and sanding the greens.
So that's what I was hearing is that a lot of the greens down there are being punched and there's a lot of golf course maintenance during this time of the year where unlike home, I don't know if this is golf season for us yet. I think it might be.
Oh, it definitely is.
I don't know. A lot of the member guests, like it went on 4 to 5 weeks ago type thing, or they're in a couple of weeks. So maybe this is a little bit of the dread of the summer, but, I heard Florida was, it was eye-opening. I felt like Florida is always hopping for golf. At vacation times during the summer, you get your vacation players. Dad said the same thing. In Myrtle, we just played on some punch greens. He was frustrated with the greens, and I'll talk about that a little bit when we talk about our rounds. But again, it's packed with people. Like, it just blows my mind that I guess you got to punch them when you got to punch them. I played up here today. And if you miss the fairway, it's just everything's burnt grass. It's brown. And I was commending the course next door about how well they've been keeping up with the water. But the pond on 18, it is probably the lowest I've ever seen it. And then that's where they pull from first. And then they have the other one on the back by 15 on that far side of the course where they pull from others.
I'm an idiot. I'm just like thinking about this. It's not a Norman course. It's a Nicholas course.
Yeah, you said that. Nicholas, Norman, and Watson.
No, Nicholas, Palmer, and Watson.
Palmer and Watson.
Yeah. I've never played a Watson course, but I would again.
So that is something I was going to ask because I know you told me about this. And obviously, we've talked where you're going to play. One thing I'm starting to get into a little bit is the type of architecture. My dad has a Norman, a Love, a Die, and I don't know. We only played the Die. And I know the Die is big in the Waste Bunkers. That's something that he's really big in doing. Norman's big with bunkers, loves to have bunkers on the course all over the place. Not necessarily waste bunkers on the course. Did you see like unique characteristics? So I've never played a Watson course.
Watson had a par four that legitimately, it was either you land it in a maybe a 30 yard fairway. Or it is basically, do you remember the little Chinese checkers board that had all the marbles and everything like that? Literally the whole rest of that fairway, like to the outside of that like 30 yard fairway that was down the middle, was just pop bunkers lined. And then obviously had a little bit, if you bombed a drive down there, okay, and got right next to the green. Okay, you had a little bit of a landing area that widened out where the pop bunkers went, but then the green was protected by bunkers as well. Every single green down here on the Watson course was elevated. So it was basically you couldn't run stuff up on the green. You had to fly it there. And the biggest...
Big greens, small greens?
Watson was... The Nicholas course, I heard, was the smallest. The Watson course was like the medium. And then the Palmer course is like the bigger ones, but more challenging shot to the greens. Like, gotcha. Interesting. But great layout to different clubs off of the tee that I had to hit. I felt like I played rather smart, even though I didn't really use user error more. But it was awesome. The only thing that was really tough were the greens. It's not necessary that they were super undulating or anything like that, or that they like had a bunch of breaks to them. It was the fact that like... The grain of the grass here, like, and I talked to the starter beforehand. I go, I've never played golf in Florida. What tips can you give me? He goes, oh, he's like, the ball jumps a little differently out of the rough here. He was like, have you ever played? He was like, played golf in South Carolina. He goes, oh, okay. He was like, well, you've probably gotten a little bit of a taste to it. He was like, but it's a little bit different too. The rough is going to grab your club. And
it's Zoysia.
It wasn't Zoysia. It was a Bermuda something Bermuda blend. But
Zoysia is a... I believe in the Bermuda field, Myrtle is more like Bermuda. Like it's curl. It's like it, you know, tangly. It's always a little straighter of a grass, straight up and down. I don't know.
But he did. He said the biggest difference of down here golf. He was like, the greens are going to feel a little furry to you. He goes, and he was like, if you putt to die into a hole, he goes, you're never going to get there. He goes, you have to putt as if you're going to putt it about a foot and a half past the hole. And I felt like I was hammering putt and still leaving stuff short just because it felt like I was just putting on Velcro. I'll get into it with the thing. I had a day on the greens. It was pretty bad. But other than that, beautiful course. It was a great time out there. I played with one other kid. And I'll get on that. It was a funny story. We'll talk about
our rounds. Any of our fans out there, if they've ever played this Florida area, tell us some of the difference being in Northern Virginia. We've played quite a places around here, obviously. Even if you go as far where we played at Kings Valley, you can start to see the grain. I saw a lot more grain in Bermuda down at Myrtle as well, too. But yeah, any of our fans, drop us a comment. Leave us a link below or some places that you like to play and how we better at playing at that Southern golf, because we're talking a lot about golf trips on here and stuff that we could go. And I doubt this will be the last time you play in Florida. We'll definitely kind of have to head that direction. Maybe not in the middle of the summer. Go down there more when it's in the wintertime to get away from the cold weather.
Send the wife and kids to Disney World and let's go play golf.
That's true. One thing we're going to do today, we're going to continue to talk about our summer season and where we stand and everything that we have going on. When we left last time, we were a little bit figuring things out. I know you had some stuff that was going on and you were playing catch up round probably the next day after we recorded. And so let's talk a little bit about that, but let's talk real quickly about where we stand in our summer season. And I actually have a spreadsheet.
Yes. I love me a good spreadsheet.
I find it. Here we go. All right. So let's do a quick recap. We started our summer season on the June 16th. We both got out of our schools and we played this first round together where I jumped up and took a 1-point lead We played at South Riding over your home course. The next week was a big one. That was a round that I think we talked about. I'm not really sure what's where I was able to throw up a Hail Mary. With Hail Mary, was able to double the points. I, at my course, shot a 75, net 68. You had your first round in the 80s. You shouldn't be too upset with that.
No, was not.
Oh, I believe that was the round we did talk about.
That was Compass Point.
80, Compass Point. You had 89, net 72. With the Hail Mary, I was able to double my points there. So I have, after the first 2 weeks, I have a 3-0 lead. Right. So that takes us to two rounds ago, because we're going to talk about two rounds today. We play a little bit of a catch up, and let's go ahead and talk about yours. You played at
Land O'Lakes Butter. Land O'Lakes.
Right. Is that a butter brand?
It is.
Right?
Land O'Lakes is a butter, but it's not the butter course.
The butter course.
No. All right. This is one of Wayne Northart's premier fun courses that he loved to play. It was one of the ones that him and his buddies used to play a lot before a couple of them moved away. But a neighbor of my dad's took me out there on July 4th. And it was one of those things where it was one of my dad's favorite courses. And after his passing, it was good to go out there and just remember some good times with him. Actually ended up playing very well that day. Hit the tee ball pretty well. Didn't get myself in too much trouble and was really actually like rolling putts in.
There we go.
I was saving myself. My green and regs were not great, but the new wedges were saving me in the fact that I was hitting them close.
So this is round two with the wedges, right?
Yes, this is round two.
Shout out to Titleist and Bogeys.
Yes. Shout out to my two kids for my Father's Day gift to PGA Superstore, which I bought them. But 33% green in regs, I had 36% fairway in regs, but I wasn't losing balls. That's the biggest thing that has changed in the last couple of weeks is I might not be hitting the ball exactly where I want to off the tee, but I'm not dropping two and hitting three nearly as much as I was. But the big number, 28 putts. That was the big number. Was 28 putts was the fact of me sticking it close and having a good amount of
good birdie looks,
par saves and everything like that.
There we go.
I was 3-putt free and just going 9 for 9, I will say. I shot 42 for an 84. I did card one birdie and had
birdie the first hole.
No, I did not. I double bogeyed the first hole. It was bad. I hit it into a fairway bunker, and because I was like, I did what would Brad do, and I didn't hit pool driver, and it was a dogleg right, and I was like, I probably could power fade this if I wanted, but you know what? I was like, I'm going to hit a hybrid out there to the corner and then have a nice straight shot, 5-iron in. I tugged it just about 10 yards and I put it into the fairway bunker. So I didn't have a shot at the green. And then I ended up, I think I did fade the ball out of the bunker and ended up underneath the tree and had to punch out. And then I punched sideways and then chipped on and then two-putted. Yeah. But
I think you gotta be easy on saying, what would Brad do? I've hit driver a lot lately. I don't just hit hybrid. I do look at the numbers and see. I don't really worry about bunkers and all that stuff. It's more or less just running out of space sometimes. And I'm not just sitting here saying I hit it long, but just why play to an 18-yard wide fairway when you can play 20 yards back to a 40-yard fairway?
I get you. But I played 12 holes at par or better on that course and had some bad holes, obviously. I had, let's see, 5 double bogeys and a triple bogey. The triple bogey came on one in which I pushed a drive underneath some trees. That course is very similar to, I guess I would put it as an Algonquian, where you can be in some trees, but go one fairway to the other fairway basically pretty quickly. And I went to hit a gap that I probably shouldn't have tried to hit and hit a tree about 70 yards in front of me, and the ball came right back to my feet. And so I got another shot at it and just basically did the same shot, but fortunately I got through. And then that was actually one of them where I pulled out the new 54 from 115 and I stuck it to about a foot and a half. So it didn't hurt me too much having that on the card. But I had my birdie opportunity was a, what was it? It was a par four. It was an 8-iron off the tee that I basically tried to draw around the corner, but I overdraw it and got lucky and dropped down right before all the trees and it skipped through the corner. So I did end up cutting the corner, but it's not exactly the ball flight I wanted. I had 115 yards in, 54 degree to basically a foot, and tapped it in for birdie. So that was a good one. An 84, net 69.
That 69 was 69 or 68?
69.
69. All right, that's pretty darn good. That's going to be tough to beat. You were down there still, I know, doing family stuff, getting ready for your big trip. And I was in the middle of my good stretch here. And I ended up carding, playing at home, my home course. And I went 38-40. And it's going to hurt a little bit because I double bogeyed 18, which is a hole that either you birdie or you double bogey. And if you double bogey or bogey, it's because you're in either trouble off the tee or short of the green.
Or in the parking lot.
Yep. Or in the parking lot. Trouble off the tee. Trouble off the tee. And I am having, and I did it again today, I'm having just stupid issues getting off the tee. I'm hitting the fairway per se, but it's not staying on the fairway. And that a lot of times it's either iron or hybrid, even though it's a par five, it's a very short one, but I just, and then I'm in my drop or I try
that,
to do this.
That corner can come into play pretty quickly.
Yeah. And I think on this one is the one I actually went right one of the first times up by the cart path. I didn't have a look to advance, hit it sideways, still had like 6 or 5 iron in. And I went ahead and ducked it into just short of the green. I think that's what's going to get you here. If that double bogey put me at a 78 and I netted a 74. And normally, if say if I did birdie that hole, I think I would have netted closer to a, I don't know what the course is playing me at, a 4. So you still probably would have beat me even if I birdied it per se. But yeah, so you picked up.
I got a bonus on it.
Let me go back to my spreadsheet. Keep us organized here. And so I was a 78, 74, net 74, and you were at 84, net 69. So I have you getting your 1 point for the week. And then if I look back at our cheat sheet for our bonus scores.
85 or below.
Sub 85 gets you an extra bonus point.
Let's go.
And so that gives you 2 points, and that brings, after 3 weeks, I have the 3 points, and you are right there behind me with 2 points.
Back in the game.
Quite a bit. Yeah, even us up pretty good there for the summer season. I'm not upset. I shot a 78. I'm never going to be upset with a round in the 70s. I'd like to get back in the 70s. I'm on a rough swing. We'll get to that because we're talking about over a week ago now. But I didn't hit the ball that bad. I hit 56% of my greens. I actually had 30 putts total that day. And I was up and down 3 out of the 8 times that I missed. I was 56 greens. So what's that? 10? So I was up and down 3 out of the 8 times.
It's 6 par saves without being green and rags. So
yeah,
that makes it huge.
Yeah. Yeah, those par saves, we're not going to hit evergreen.
And I'm happy with an 84. I haven't seen a lower than, obviously, I've been shooting hundreds as of late, and I haven't been able to break 90s, but back-to-back 80s rounds is going to be great, especially when it drops the handicap down to 17-8.
Yeah, 17-8. So when is the last time you shot 85? Are we talking... That course out in front. I always forget the name.
Chase. No. Oh, I'm sorry. It's Sly Fox. It's called Sly Fox.
Sly Fox.
It used to be called Jackson's Chase, but then
Jackson Chase. Yeah, you're right. You're right. And so that was the fall. So it wasn't too long. For some reason, I thought a little bit longer than that. But
that, yeah, was, you're that back. Was a luck box 84, I think, really. This one was like a legit 84 where I actually felt like I was playing well. I think I got lucky a couple times on that one.
It's just golf. Well, to say what Anthony says, he's going to play six holes, like a single-digit handicapper. He's going to play six holes he's supposed to play the way, and he's going to play six holes where he is a 25 handicapper. And it all evens itself out when it comes down to it. Ideally, you want to be 3-12 and then 3 on the backside.
That'd be good.
Stuff like that.
That'd be good.
But yeah, I'm not upset. I've tipped my hat to you. 84 is a good round for you. Glad to get you on the board, get you off the snide a little bit there, get you some points in the right direction.
As Latimer says, starting defense plays the table right before he smashes his head through the window. It's great.
Yeah, I saw another clip of them, though, that they're headbutting each other, and then they, I think they spit loogies in each other's mouth, but I don't remember all. I got to go back and watch that movie. I'm waiting for Tyler to be a little bit older to bring that one back in.
Yeah, you might have to fast forward through a couple of portions of that movie.
But yeah, like I said, I'm not too disappointed. I'll take a 78 at my course any day of the week, playing tough, playing firm. I have gone through, and I think this was the start of it. I've been lag putting really well. So two putts come, but when you're lag putting, you're not making birdie putts. So if you're not making birdie putts and I'm throwing in a double and maybe that extra sloppy bogey here and there hurts a little bit. Wow. I have done a really good job of eliminating doubles. And I think you've seen my numbers and we talk as much as we talk. I'm hovering right between that 75 to 81 mark a lot. And I think I have in my last 20 rounds, I bet there's only two or three that are above 81, 82, 83, and nothing really too high. So I am about to drop a 74. So the handicap's going to go up a little bit. I mean, it's just inevitable.
Oh, you're about to, okay, a 75 to fall off. I thought you meant you were about to drop,
yeah, it's going to drop
74
off.
On.
I mean, I plan on doing that tomorrow when we go out, but if I don't, I'm still dropping a 74 off the counted list or the top 8 list that's on there. Hopefully put up another good one, but before we get to round 2, we always like want to bring up some sort of fitness thing. I know being on vacation, it's very tough to do a lot of different workouts. I was able to run, keep my running up a little bit. I ran probably, we were down there for about, I think 5 or 6 days total. I ran 3 of them. I'll be honest with you. The best workout I got is we took the kids to this, it's called the Shark Wave Park. And I found out it's called the Shark Wave Park. And again, we're a golf podcast. It is Greg Norman's son's side business.
Love it.
It's one of those, it's on the lake. I guess it's a lake there. It was giant pond, whatever it may have been called. It's one of those inflatable obstacle courses that are out there.
Can you see it from the bridge?
Yeah, you can
see it from the bridge. I've seen that before. Is there like zip lining type stuff and stuff?
There is like the wave riding, the wave boarding. You can hold on to it.
Wakeboarding.
Now we didn't, wakeboarding, I'm sorry. We didn't do that. We thought the kids maybe are a couple years from maybe doing that. Although there were some young kids doing it. That was not as popular, but the obstacle course, yeah. We got out there as a family. We got a Groupon deal. We went out there 2 50-minute sessions. I think after about 15 minutes, Court and I looked at ourselves and said, oh my gosh, we have an hour and a half left of this. It was difficult to stand. Our cores and our knees and our hips were hurting a little bit. And it was a workout. I wish I would have turned like my watch on to say that I was doing a workout because it was 2 hours of struggles. I couldn't do all the obstacles because it is very, when it gets, obviously it's very slippery. So I couldn't get up some of the hills. There is definitely a weight balance. I think the kids were a little bit too low. I think I was a little bit too high. I think where you can just walk on there where it's just a perfectly easy thing. But I had probably about a 14, 15 year old girl slide into the back of my legs, take me completely out. It got to a point at the end of the second round that I just, anytime I go, Corey, if you need me, I'll be floating with the life vest in the water. I'll keep the crocodiles away because
like it was just floating and spitting water out of his mouth.
It was just easier to be in that than it was. And then again, there's like a giant tower, 15 feet. I think me and Tyler jumped off like 6 to 8 times.
Did you pull a backflip off?
No, we're not allowed to just
no flips.
And no, no flips and no pushing.
We're being as a country now.
I would not have done. It literally got to a point where I was hitting the water. I was like, man, this is starting to hurt. And I'm landing on water coming into it.
I've controlled myself at the pool that we have here at the house, because there is like that little, I think there's that little small like overflow pool that you can heat up to be a hot tub. But gotcha. We're obviously not doing that with it being 105 degrees. The pool basically feels like bath water most of the time. But there's that little like wall that kind of gives you a nice little, maybe like a 3 foot drop down to the regular pool. I've held off because I know that Brody and Elise are watching me, and I just don't want to be that guy that's doing backflips, because I know Brody and Elise would immediately want to do it too. So I'm like, I stood on it backwards one time and Laura just immediately screamed across. No. So I've held.
The kids dominated it. They loved it. I think we went in the morning, like late morning. And I think even before we got home, Tyler was already asleep. And we were only 15 minutes from the place. Like, it was hard work. It was hard work. And we went hard. You have to take, so you go for 50 minutes and then you have a 10 minute break. And then you hit, then second session starts, because you get, I guess, more people. It's like hour sessions, so more people come throughout the day. Found a Groupon to go in the morning. Had to go in the morning, which I didn't really mind. But I tell you what, it was... I got in the car the next, or I played golf the next day, got in the car, drove home for eight hours or 7.5 hours, whatever it was. And so it's just a combo of that, that I think that was probably my best workout over the vacation time. I did get back to it today. I knocked out 3.5 miles with some speed workouts, and then did a 400 workout where I just did 5 exercises for 8 rounds. Little sore, pretty sore. And then went out and went over to the range and played 9 holes with the wife today. We stayed pretty busy.
How's her handicap looking?
So we've done a lot of better ball rounds. So we get to hit 2 and still working on some frustrations she's getting through. But I did tell her the next time we go, we're going to have to start recording and actually try to go for a score. And she agreed. It's just, she was exhausted. It was a little bit hotter today. I didn't think it was too bad, but man, my hips were hurting, and maybe that's why I double bogeyed 18 again. Just walking, it beat us up a little bit. But enough of me rambling. What about vacation workouts? What are you doing? I know you have not been home, I get almost 2.5 weeks now.
I have not been in my bed or in my house since the 22nd of June. Yeah. And it is, I don't know what it is.
July 11th. It is
July 11th. Jeez.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm sorry. Yeah, no, so 24th of June, and it is now July 11th, and I've yet to be at home. I've been making best use when I just threw stuff into a car and drove down to my parents' house. When I got the call from I had my running shoes in my car naturally, and just I threw shorts and t-shirts in there. I didn't pack anything that was going to be like nice clothes. I utilized my parents' gym. I ran a lot. I've been running every single day. I utilized my parents' gym, which is decent, not great. Then when I went back home and picked up the kids and everything like that, brought down workout equipment with me this trip. And all I brought was, I have a 35-pound kettlebell, a 30-pound kettlebell, a set of 20-pound kettlebells, a set of 25-pound dumbbells, a 20-pound med ball, and some bands. And I've built workouts just to keep me in tune there, where I can do them in the driveway. We go to the parks. We've been walking an average of about 8 to 12 miles every single day throughout the parks on top of my workouts. They do have a fitness center here.
Let's talk workouts. So I know you're getting your steps in at the park, and I get my running, and that's the easy one, the more of the endurance type thing. Let's go over 2 different types of workouts. So let's go over something that you're doing that we talk a lot. We do 300, 400, 500 workouts, a lot of body weight work. Go over a simple, maybe strength training. I know strength training is going to add in mobility, add in flexibility, altogether, but go over like a quick 20 to 30 minute strength training workout that somebody could do with bare minimum equipment or a little bit of the equipment like you've talked about as they're on some sort of vacation.
Something simple that I've been doing, I'll give you a lower body workout. Lower body workout that I've been doing is something that I've actually really enjoyed is the kickstand RDL, so a Romanian deadlift. So instead of a normal single leg where you throw that leg far back and you work on a lot of balance and whatnot, this adds in some rotation and some thoracic spine mobility to where I'm working my left leg, but I'm holding a kettlebell in my right hand. And as I'm dropping down, I just drop that right leg back down into my toes, if you will. And I'm really tilting that shoulder to get that shoulder turn as I'm going down to that deadlift position and driving back up into a Romanian deadlift position.
So your back leg is almost like...
it's a kickstand.
It's not like a single leg squat.
It's an RDL with a kickstand just to keep you balanced, because a lot of people struggle with those Romanian deadlifts, single legs, when they have to kick that back foot.
Yeah.
And this adds in a little bit of thoracic spine rotation so that you're getting that shoulder turn into it. Very much so mimicking a golf swing. And obviously you're doing it on both sides, so you're working both sides equally. So you're basically strengthening both your backswing and your force. I do front squats just to build explosiveness. You're always having that drive off of your front foot or your back foot, depending on whether you're lefty or righty. So you need explosiveness there, that upward motion of pushing that foot into the ground. I do dumbbell jumps or kettlebell jumps, where I'll just hold a kettlebell as extra weight on me and I'll just do a vertical jump. We want to work on explosiveness. We want to be powerful, like from that kind of squat position in our backswing and then exploding through our forward swing, whether it be...
What about some of our more experienced listeners? Can they change a jump into a long-legged step-up type thing to get that explosiveness?
You can do a single-leg step-up to a jump, yeah. Very simple and easy.
Almost minimize the jump just so they take it easy on their knees if they're experienced.
But even if they're less experienced, you mean? The less experience, I'm want to take more explosiveness.
I'm trying to be polite and tell not our older people that don't want to jump anymore. That's old. What I was trying to do.
you got to take care of your knees. The thing is, explosiveness training is actually good for anybody, any age group. I'm not talking about just sit there and do jump training left and right, but you should still be able to jump up and grab something off the top shelf in your cabinets or anything like that, or jump up and touch the top of the clock when you're at your kid's elementary school. There you go. There's a reference for you.
Everybody does that. top of the door frame. I still reach up there.
Exactly. I have to jump to do it. I'm short, but I do kettlebell swings. Just once again, that posterior chain of strength. A lot of people neglect that. Those hamstrings and glutes. Do the side slams of med balls, those halo slams where basically you're taking it in a rotation and slam it to the side. I'll do reverse lunges. I like to do just because it's a balance and I add a knee drive into it. So I'll do a step back lunge and then I'll basically lunge, step forward hard and straighten whatever leg I'm working on, but then raise that knee up where my knee's above my hip and work on that balance, the stabilizer muscles in the hip, knee, ankle on the working leg. And then a lot of the times with the bands, I'll bring into like Pal-Off rotations. So Pal-Off press rotations where I'll basically take a band under tension and extend it out and then work on core rotation and being able to take my upper body and lower body and separate it, and which is important in a golf swing, as well as just a core rotation between practice swings and actual swings. You're probably taking 200 to 300 swings out on a golf course. When you look at your warm up, your practice swings, your actual swings, that's a lot of core rotation. And you want to make sure that you're like priming that for activities and keeping it loose, keeping it mobile, keeping it strengthened. So I don't use very heavy bands for that. I use lighter bands for that and just work on full rotation and shoulder rotation. That does help work on your thoracic spine mobility as well. And then a simple thing that I've done with a med ball or a kettlebell or a dumbbell or anything like that is thrusters. So you're working basically lower body and upper body where you're squatting down elbows to knees. And then as you're raising up, you're doing it basically a shoulder press, a military press in a neutral grip. That's a simple lower body workout where it's a circuit that I do, and I'll do it 3 to 4 sets as quick as I can with as little rest as possible for sets of three sets or 4 sets of 10 reps each exercise, and just go through it as quick as I can do it. It's a good sweat. I usually knock it out in about 34 minutes. You throw in my 2-mile run and I'm done with both my cardio and my weight training in 50 minutes.
A lot of stuff that you just ran off and said you can do with just body weight.
Oh, 100%. Well,
because, I mean, if we're on a vacation and they don't have anything, I know most places are really doing a lot with some fitness centers and adding some different things. But if you're just, you don't have anything, you could definitely do a lot of body weight type things.
A set of bands on Amazon are like 15, 20 bucks. Hey, truth, with after COVID, I learned so much of how to do stuff on my own that it like makes going on vacation so much easier.
Right. Yeah. Definitely working those things in. Fans, you need to follow us on Fairway Fit Golf social media. We have at Fairway Fit Golf on Instagram and on Twitter. Check us out. We'll be coming to with some videos of some of those workouts of Greg, maybe down at the Magic Kingdom, working out with Mickey, maybe a little bit. Can Mickey do us some squat thrusters?
A little push-up contest. If I can't beat Mickey in a contest, I will quit Fairway Golf.
I don't think he can do a push-up because his head is just, it's going to hit the ground before his arms bend.
Exactly. So why I threw that bet out. It's kind of like, it's like the presidents challenging each other to a golf match.
Let's see if we can get that on video. So check us out. Make sure to like and subscribe us, not only here for our podcast, but in our social media as well too. Every follower counts and it helps us out. We are going to get into some more workout stuff every episode we have. We are trying to put some stuff down on paper and be able to share through our website that should be up and running here shortly. But once we get that up, we will put that also out on our social media. So make sure to check us out. We are all about, yes, we are listening to our journeys about how we are getting to play golf, but we want you guys to play golf with us. And so just make sure check us out, like us, follow, subscribe, do whatever you do on your social media. But let's get to, and because we could go into our workouts all day, let's get to this week. This is week 4. We are currently up to week 4 in our summer season. And for those who haven't been listening or just jumping on, our first round of the week are going to count towards our season.
Unless stipulated.
Yes. Greg was able to get in. As you heard us talk earlier, he got his round in Florida. Be able to take advantage of the resort that he's staying in, played a Watson course. I played
tell you the truth, $100.
That's it?
Yeah.
That's not bad.
It's not bad at all. When I booked it, I was fully expecting it to be expensive. And he told me $100 and I was like, okay.
Well, if we talked a little bit before, if it is the off season, that's still true. A good date, still a good price regardless of when it is. But I was able to play on Monday as well, but I was playing with my dad's golf group and they did a shamble. I talked to Greg about my round and said, if I do play all 18 of my tee shots, then I would count it. And we got up to 16 and we could have played my ball, but my dad was adamant about playing his, which it did give us an easier look. He didn't want to play over a bunker. I drove one up fairly close on a par 4. He was back a little bit further. But anyway, I was with my dad, had a great time.
You're going to bend a dad every once in a while.
Yeah, 100%. Especially it's his group. He was there trying to impress. And we played fairly well. Played Myrtlewood in Myrtle Beach. Myrtlewood Golf Club. I actually truly enjoyed it. I liked that course a lot. The fairways were ginormous. And although I played at 6,500 yards, I probably hit 5, if not 6 different, not counting the par 3, different clubs off the tee. All the way from driver down to 6 iron. And I still was hitting anywhere between probably up to about an 8-iron in, 9-iron in on some. So it was pretty good. Didn't hit a ton of drivers, but I actually drove it. I think I hit 4 or 5, hit 4 fairways of the driver. So I've been hitting the ball very well. didn't score. Their greens, they were not punched. They were just long. And I guess that's maybe just because of the heat. They were a little bit long. So it took me a little bit while to get going on there. But fun round. We ended up carding a 65, finished tied for sixth in his little group. They do money a little bit differently. Some days it's odds, some days it's evens. So like 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, I think all the way up to 16 teams can make money. Award 1, 3, 5. And we ended up, it was an even day and we tied for six, but we lost the playoff and we're 7. So
16 teams. How many guys are out there?
Yeah, two-man teams. 16
oh,
two-man
okay.
teams.
Okay. All right. Two-man right, teams. I got you. I thought you meant like 16 foursomes. I was like, damn.
No, and that was a little bit low because of just vacation. People were out of town and different things. But a couple people did have some other family members or friends in town. But it's a good group. They play every
you
Monday.
You were the best son, right?
According to him, I was. Although the one guy my dad's going to Pinehurst with, son is the pro at one of the courses there in Pinehurst, and he just did an amateur where he finished second. So glad he wasn't there. Yeah, they wanted me to play all the way from the tips, and my dad said no, that 65 was fine. It ended up being a big gap. It would have been like 72, which I was like, I just don't really play back there. 65 is pretty much the numbers I like to try to play around. So loved the course, played really well, but I was able to get out on his other group. He has a Monday group and then he has a Wednesday group. Nice to be retired. And we played at his course in barefoot. It was actually the more fancy course, the Pete Dye course. If you've been to barefoot, there's four courses there. Three of them are off on their, have one clubhouse they work out of. And then the Dye has it separate. It used to be a members only, but it's been open up to, I guess it's probably been open up to the public. And we played there on Wednesday. So Greg got out on Tuesday at the Watson course down there. I was able to get out on Wednesday at the Dye course with my pops. And how'd it go for you?
I get snapped back to reality, as Eminem likes to say. I played with a lovely grandma that brought her 14-year-old grandson out to the course for a practice round. They drove about an hour and 45 minutes through traffic from further south Florida to come up and play a practice round because the kids played in like a junior tournament that's at this Watson course this weekend. So as soon as she said that, I was like, oh man, this kid's a player. And the kid was super nice, walked up to me on the range and shook my hand, introduced himself. And you could tell that like he plays a lot of golf. He was that kid that had sleeves on and the bucket hat and was spending a lot of time in Florida sun. And I would say that he probably beat me. The problem was he was playing a practice round and he was playing like his, there was different tees for each one of his tee shots basically. Like, okay. So I couldn't really tell what he was scoring. He was also playing a couple, just us two. Grandma was driving around and it was just us two. Grandma was on point though. I tell you this much, like if he had a bad shot where like he left it off the green, grandma was right there with, I don't know how she did it, but she'd be 40 yards away from him. And if he had a bad ball, there was a ball at his feet in a matter of 2 seconds. She was throwing dimes to him, like just basically like boom, hit another, boom, hit another. Like it was amazing to watch actually. And she was very sweet. Okay. He was a great kid. We had a great conversation throughout the time. I had some good shots. He had some good shots. He was definitely pretty good stick. His dad played Division I golf at Old Dominion.
All right.
And they're currently living in Southern Virginia or Southern Florida. Dad supposedly is still a very good stick. And this kid played golf as a little kid and then switched over to soccer for a long time and then just returned back to golf like a year and a half ago.
Everyone makes bad choices throughout their lives. I'm glad they made it a good adjustment.
But the fact that he just switched back over to golf a year and a half ago, and I mean,
still playing.
He was a player. He wasn't missing fairways and he had some errant shots every now and again. But I will say that he did not have one bad shot. I had way more bad shots than
okay.
he. He had one or two duffs that like on chip shots that he was trying to get fancy with stuff. And I understand when you're playing a practice round, you might have to take like a full lob wedge and try and hit like a flop shot. And then you end up just duffing it. But at the same time, he was a stick. And it was one of those things where it was fun for me to sit and watch somebody practice for a tournament. Hopefully he does well, but
yeah, let's go to the rounds. Let's go to the rounds. Let's go 9 holes and see where we're at after 9 holes. And then we'll go to the 18 holes and then we'll see where we're at from there.
So I was in this course as a 19.
Okay.
All right. The front, horrible, shot 51.
51?
51 on the front.
Is that where you birdied the first hole?
No.
I feel like I got a Grint update that you birdied the first hole. Maybe it was later on. All right, so you shot a 51 on a par 36, I'm assuming, par 72 overall, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I shot a 41. Now, I played, like I said, the Barefoot Die course. I would say they just had their greens and their whole map. My dad's group is retired, so they're on the older side, experienced side. They're a little opinionated. Every single guy I talked to told me the greens were god-awful. Just be prepared. And now it's before the round. I met good 10 or 12 of them. It was a little bit bigger group today than it is the Monday group. But I was like, oh, they're punched. I go, we're playing a die course. This is supposed to be like one of the top 10 in Myrtle Beach. I've played it before. I was like, I'll be fine. I'm not too worried about it. I would say worst shape I've ever seen that course. Barefoot is going through some financial things where he's debating on selling and doing different things. So he's not putting a lot of money back into the golf courses right now. I'm not going to say that the greens were the only thing, like when I say it was the worst shape, it just did not look like in peak season, you're $160, $170 down there to play. I don't know what the rate is now because I paid the guest rate. I paid Dad what he asked for. So they were rough. I actually hit the ball really well. Like I was very pleased with the way I hit the ball. Played, it was like 65, 6600 on this course. And I enjoyed it. And I shot a 41. I had 5 bogeys. And it was pretty much, if I did not hit the green, I bogeyed. I just couldn't make a putt. I just couldn't do it. So it was rough. The course had me playing at a 5. Overall, so my handicap was a 5. So we're sitting at 55. And I had me playing at a 5. Greg, it had you playing at a 19. So basically 10 shots on the front. So you're pretty much 5 shots over where you want to be. And I'm 5 shots over where I want to be. I basically gave up all my shots right then and there. So what did you do on the back?
The back, I fixed myself a bit. I was still not necessarily hitting fairways, still necessarily wasn't, you know, hitting green and regs. I went 3 for 7 fairways and 33% on the back green and regs, but I pulled it together and away from the big numbers that I was hitting on the front and only had one double bogey on the back, 2 pars, and then bogeyed the rest of the holes to shoot a 44 for a total of a 95.
44, I mean, that's supposed to get what? If you did 9.5 shots, you're right there actually in front of what you're supposed to shoot. You're supposed to shoot 45 basically, right?
Right.
90. So that's not bad. I continued the same, hit the ball really well. I was very pleased, ball contact and everything. And I ended up with a 40. I still had 4. I had 4 bogeys again on the back. I had 1, 2, 3 putts, which ended up hurting me. Like I said, hit the ball pretty well. So I was 41-40 for an 81. And you were 51-44 for a 95.
Yeah, back to reality.
Wait a second. 95 and 19. I was a net 76.
I was a net 76 as well.
Oh. So we tied.
Or push, whatever you want to say.
Or push, whatever you want to say. Yeah. All right. We'll have to talk about what we want to do for this one. Do we push to the next week? Make next week count double? Do we take half a point like it's the Ryder Cup? Single play, match play?
I think we got to have it, don't we? I think the ability to Hail Mary, blind Hail Mary, and all those, I think we can't have carryover.
Yeah, I think you're right there. I was thinking that as well, too. So it would give us each a half a point. So I would go to 3.5 points. You would go to 2.5 points. And we are right there, actually, with the big week five coming up. So this will be the last week with our single point rounds. And then everything goes up to 2 points for the last 5 weeks.
Together on that part, probably.
But yeah, so what were your stats on the round? I know back to 95.
Yeah. Like,
where'd you lose your shots, bro?
37 putts. 37 putts was, this is the shockingest thing in the world. I was 50% fairways and red. So that's probably
There were tight fairways too.
That's probably the highest I was in a long time. No, I was, it wasn't that they were tight. It was just that I was making smart club choices and I was lucking out. There's definitely like times where I definitely skied two drives where basically I, instead of being the 260, 270, maybe the occasional 300 that I was doing on the range, I skied two balls that were like 210 off the tee, but they were just right down the middle.
So hold on here. So you said you were making smart decisions off the tee. So every time you make a decision off the tee that doesn't work out, you go back and say, oh, I was trying to do what would Brad say.
I was legitimately making smart decisions off the tee.
But like, you were thinking, what would Brad do? I didn't get the credit this time. I get the credit when it's a bad result. I'm not getting the credit when it's a good result for it.
Well, I skied the drive.
I can't help. It's the decision, no, not the
user. It's user error. Everything about my game is user error. It's not the clubs. It's not the course or anything like that. But no, I put myself in a couple bad situations where, you know, I would just catch something a little heavy, maybe a three hybrid on a dub. And I would be, instead of being free and clear to go for the green, I'd have a overhanging tree into the fairway that I would have to go under, so I would just hit like a punch five iron where I wouldn't be able to get to the green by trying to skip it up. Like I said, everything was an elevated green, so it was high, you had to put the ball in the air. And so it was one of those things where I told the kid at times, I was like, make sure you're not here. Make sure you're not
here. How many double bogeys did you have? Or double bogeys or worse?
I had seven. Six double bogeys and a triple. And so now, the back nine, I only had one double bogey and I played par or bogey better.
Okay, so you take those seven double bogeys. Usually with a double bogey, I come pretty much to the conclusion that it is a shot, just a putt that you messed up on, hit a bat or bend it, did whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
So seven shots right there. You cut that in half. Let's just say that's three. Let's just say you pick up three more shots there. You have 37 putts. Let's just say you cut that down to 32 because you make four more putts. Say 33. Let's just be realistic. That's seven shots. Now you're back to 88. You would have taken an 88 on a course you've never played before every day of the week.
Oh, yeah. 100%. And I mean, the thing is, I only lost one ball. I had one ball where I just basically, I hit a $1.5 million house and it was a power fade. And then the next ball went dead straight and was perfect. But I didn't go up and talk to the guy. I don't have that type of checkbook to write for a window or anything like that on a $1.5 million house, but there's some beautiful houses. Window, no, no. I probably hit it over the house into the street that it was parked.
You know what? I was just thinking about this. I'm glad houses around golf courses don't have solar panels, because I probably would hit the top of the house and pepper these solar panels and I'd be breaking solar panels left and right.
But who would know until their power went out?
That's true. They got the other panels that are working.
They got the normal electricity.
So the big difference with your I mean, where you're sitting at a 17 into a 10 or a 9, which is your goal to get to, is cutting down those big numbers. Because I'm at the point where, like, I still throw a double bogey up there, but I'm not having 2, 3, 4 of them. I'm able to save those as bogeys. And a lot of times I've even been able to say I hit it to a rent state. I've been able to drop it and still say double, like still say bogey. Like I've been able to get up and down from where it was. So that's a big thing. Cause I shot set what I shoot 81 and I had all bogeys. I had 9 bogeys and 9 pars. I did not have 1 birdie. Now I did lip again, 18 killed me last week for the scoring. I did lip the putt and literally around the cup and threw it back at me on 18 from about 4.5 feet. And the guy my dad was playing with was like, oh, that was a gimme. You're good to there. And I was like,
I can't. I go,
trust me, I want to. The bad as the greens were, they were hitting. It was really weird. It was either skidding across the sand or fur and like picking up speed, or it was bumping so much, it wasn't getting to the hole. So speed was bad.
Worked out with me because I had the kid that was doing a practice round that he had to put everything out. So it's not like he was giving me anything either. After the first hole, I was like, you're good by me if you want it there. And he was like, I'm playing a practice round. He was like, for a tournament I'm playing here this weekend. And I was like, oh, okay. I was like, so I said, you won't get mad if I don't give you any putts. He was like, no, I'm going to have to put everything out. And I was like, all right. I was like, I'll do the same.
But yeah, like I said, I was pretty pleased the way I hit the ball. One thing I knew I was focusing on was trying to find the front of the green because their flags were all the same color. So even though I had my rangefinder and the cards have GPS, I was trying to land just under the front on a lot of spots. So there were some holes that were like 202, 205. Par threes, but it was 185 carry. So I was hitting a lot of 7-iron. Like, oh, you're hitting 7-iron 200 yards. I go, oh no, I'm hitting it 185 yards and I'm rolling it another 10 to 15 yards if I hit the green. So I did hit 64% of my fairways, solid off the tee. I hit 56% of my greens, but I also had 37 putts.
Ooh, that's a lot of putts for you.
I think I got up and down.
So what yardage?
I didn't get up and down. I want to say it was like 66.
All right. So you were a little bit longer. I was playing 63-20.
66-34.
Oh, dang.
66-34.
You should have told me. I would have played the golds instead of the blues.
They wanted me to play the tips, and Dad's now because he's going to play where he wants to play. I was fine there.
That was the thing. On the very first hole, this kid had to tee off from the tips, and literally the starter was like, he was like, are you a stick? And he was like, these are the tees I have to play on number one. And he was like, oh, you're playing the tournaments this weekend. And he was like, good luck.
Tips. Oh, so they move them around every time.
The tips here were 71-54.
That's the thing. I think the next set at the dive pushed it to 73. And I'm like, I'm not playing 73. I'm not playing a 240 yard
par threes.
That's really where it gets me. The difference there is, yes, I'm going to shoot higher because I'm going to hit my driver all over the place, but I pull driver more.
Right. Really with them.
But I had some looks. I hit 2 par threes and 2 or par fives and 2. I think I 3-putt one of them. No, I guess I 3-putted both of those. Only 3-putt was on the par fives. Not upset with the way I played. But yeah, so we'll end up having that one. And then what's next for you? When do you think you're going to be back on the course?
I might get another round in down here. I might play the Palmer course this week if I can. We have one more off day from Parks before we go home. I might ask my wife if that can be like, I don't know, an anniversary gift or something like that I can go play golf again. If not, it'll be, I don't know, maybe a day that we get back to North Carolina before my father's service, that I'll get out and play around there. I know my dad's neighbor was like, he was like, your dad's going to hate me for this because we only played golf together twice. He was like, he's one of those guys that would want me to take you out every chance that I can get. He was like, I'm going to ask you every time you're down here. And I was like, all right. I was like, just keep asking, just make sure it's in front of my wife so that she'll say yes.
My dad's close too. That far away. If you ever needed someone,
quick hour drive.
Yeah, we can meet halfway. He's got all those discount books that he gets a hold of.
Oh, that's right.
But yeah, I'll probably get out early next week. I do have a meeting I have to go to on Monday. And so if it's not Monday, it'll definitely be Tuesday for next week. But yeah, we are pretty darn close here on the summer season. We're almost to our halfway point. And I do think next time when we are on, we're going to have some big news for people. We're going to try to have some ideas of stuff that we're going to accomplish here in the fall. We are looking to do some big things. Make sure to like and subscribe us. And Greg, if that's all you got, I'll definitely check you next time.
That's it.